Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, November 24th. We are glad you are here. Maggie's raising the roof. I guess that's what that is. But want to say thank you for tuning in. And we are going to be doing Survivor Series predictions for War Games. But Maggie, as we start every show, how you doing?
Said correctly, it's War Games.
Yeah, War Games. I can't.
But I really miss William Regal saying that.
Yeah, me too. But tell us, where are you now?
I'm in this mystical land called my office.
You did it.
I did it. I really did. Of course, it's not at all finished. But the thing that you're seeing, that's all the thing that you need to be seeing. Like, that's everything besides this is not ready whatsoever. The lighting is really poor right now, and I hope it stays this way at least until the end of the show. I suppose it's gonna start flickering, but like, that's I don't care. I really don't. It's been I said I don't give a crap. I want this to work now. I am so tired. Like, it's almost been 2 years, Rob, of our wonderful show.
Almost
2 years, and I've been doing the show from my awful couch that I hate. It's probably one of the best mistakes I've ever made ever, because now I know, and now I'm not gonna, you know, try to not spend more money on a couch, because cheap couches suck. I'm so comfortable right now in my brand new awesome office chair and everything, and I'm so glad, because I actually feel comfortable doing the show that I love with the person that I adore like hell. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm good. Had a good Thanksgiving here in the States with my family yesterday. Ate quite a bit. So I'm
what are cool. You thankful for?
I'm thankful for so much. My family, my friends. Yeah, pretty much. Family, friends. I tie that into friends. But yeah, Fightful.
I'm thankful for our chat.
Yes.
And guys, I'm thankful for our chat. Let me finish. Guys, hi. Please like the video, share the video on social media. Please, liking the video is one of the best things you can do for us, because it helps us out a lot. The second thing you can do is send a super chat at the bottom of the live chat. It's the little dollar sign. If you want your questions, statements read, you know, congratulations on my new office, you know, saying how hot Rob is with the stash, you know, it's been more than a month now. It's absolutely gorgeous. You can also send us a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. This makes us keep a little bit more of the money. and everything. So please, welcome to the show. We are going to talk about Survivor Series, War Games a lot, and then we're going to talk about really hot deathmatch stuff. So, Rob, you have the floor.
Alrighty. So yeah, big show this weekend for WWE Survivor Series taking place tomorrow night at the Allstate Arena. Why is that coming up? Oh, never mind. At the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois, tomorrow night. So it's going to be a big show. I'm excited. I always love the four. One of the big four shows every year. It's what I'm all about. So I'm anxious for it. So how anxious are you waiting for this?
Survivor Series?
Yeah.
I actually think that it's going to be an absolutely amazing pay-per-view because I'm not one of those dorks on the internet that's going to, you know, bitch and moan if certain people don't show up on the show. At the end of the day, I'm going to just enjoy the show. That's it. I don't know why people, you know, go out of their way to make themselves believe that something big is happening and, you know, work themselves into something that is in no way true or not. Like, you don't have, like, it's not certain. Like, yeah. Nothing certain. Like, everything, like, if something does end up happen, I'm gonna be really happy that it did. But if it doesn't, I'm not gonna be mad. Like, they're like, it's exactly the thing that you and I talked about before the show. Those people in the ring, those wrestlers, the crew behind the scenes and everything. Those people bust their asses to give us something to talk about, to give us, you know, entertainment. It's probably going to be a 3 to 4 hour show, right?
Yeah, probably 3.5, I would guess.
Yeah, so it's just after Thanksgiving. So instead of people, you know, spending that time with family, you know, Thanksgiving weekend or whatever, I don't know if that's even a thing. But like, they're going to put on a show for the entire world. And for people to be ungrateful bitches, this doesn't turn out, doesn't happen. Like, that's really, really crappy of them, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, I'm
gonna talk into lengths about this or yeah. Not. I don't know if I have any more anything else to say, but yeah. So I know that if Punk does end up, you know, being at Survivor Series, he's gonna blow the roof off.
Yeah.
It's Chicago. They're not gonna sing Cry Me a River. That's a different kind of crowd. Like, that's not the other place or anything. Those people are not mad at Punk for anything that he did in the other place. No. Those people aren't the ones who are, you know, there might be people in the crowd who boycotted AEW after Punk left. I'm not saying that those people don't exist. They do exist legitimately.
Yeah.
But the thing is, guys, it's wrestling. It's supposed to be sports entertainment. You're supposed to be entertained. Like, no one in that entire company promised you to give you CM Punk on the silver platter. No one did.
So, yeah, let's go ahead and just get into it. We'll talk about Raw and then tie in like Survivor Series and
at
stuff
the
like
same
that.
Time. But,
yeah, and we do have a super chat from a good friend, Ryan Sullivan. He says, at the Flyers game with my nephew, so missing this live, but happy Survivor Series, Rod and Maddie. So
Maddie is actually a pretty good name.
Yeah, I like
it. Maddie Ferguson is the name of Laura Palmer's
alias?
Cousin, so I'm fine with
sorry,
that.
I knew that. Yeah. Why could I not remember it? Another one from our friend Matt Reichiel. Thank you, sir. Hey. Happy almost 2 year, 2 years of awesomeness of this awesome show with Rob and Maggie, the awesome new office and get my pre-sale code for All In today. There you go. Cool.
Today? Is it today?
Some people got pre-sale codes, but I don't know if, can they buy them today or is it just getting the code today? I can't remember.
No, the code. The code, yeah. The code is today. At least that's what they...
Sure.
At least that's what they did with, you know, the previous thing.
Yeah. All right. So Monday Night Raw took place at the Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, yeah. I did get a code. I'm sorry. yeah, I did get a code as well. Thank you, cool. Matt.
Very nice. But so Raw kicked off with Drew McIntyre explaining his actions from last week's episode and why
totally he aligned, justified.
Why he aligned with the Judgment Day, and also why he wants to be in the wiser for the advantage, to get the advantage for Judgment Day in the War Games match. So what do you think of that little promo?
I said it before, I'm going to say it again. Everything that Drew McIntyre is doing right now is absolutely 100% totally justified in my eyes. Drew McIntyre is not the heel here. He's a total babyface for me. Everything that he's doing, absolutely legit. I'm 100% behind the guy. Like, why would you team up and back up someone who wants Jey Uso on the team with you?
Yeah.
Why would any of these people want to do that? Like, I get that Sammy and KO, like, they kind of, you know, welcomed Jey Uso back and everything. I kind of get it, but I feel like it's a bit different for Drew, you know?
Yeah.
Because everything that Drew had was during the pandemic. It was during the Empty Arena era. It was during the Thunderdome era. I hope that we never get this again.
Oh, yeah.
Although I am one of the few people that actually think that the Thunderdome era had its little romantic moments, you know.
Sure.
It did. But I like to stare and look at those moments while they're moving away and I wave goodbye to them. Like, it's that. Like, I don't need those moments to be constantly there. I hope we never get that Thunderdome era back. But Drew McIntyre was a champion throughout the entire thing. He tried to carry the company. He tried to carry the world. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes. And he tried to get that back in the Sandcastle pay-per-view. last year. It was such a special pay-per-view, by the way. Him losing, I feel like a part of me hoped that he was gonna win, you know, a part of me really did. Deep inside, yeah, deep inside, I know that there was no way he was winning, though. The thing I hated, I really, really freaking hate it, was the karaoke bit after the show. I really hated that, and
yeah, it wasn't good.
But yeah, it was not good. Back then, it made absolutely zero sense that he lost the way he lost, you know, with all those interference and whatnot. And then he was kind of okay with it. And I would have loved if he referenced that and said that it was denial.
Yeah.
Denial about everything, because it's like one of the stages of grief, you know?
Yeah.
And denial. Then he could have explained everything that he's been doing, you know, the last year. He could have explained it perfectly with this. Yeah. You know, the five stages of grief.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
That's I can go on and on about Drew. Yeah. I adore everything that he's doing. I understand why people are booing him right now. I understand why people like him even more, like me. I just hope that they don't, like, management and, you know, bookers don't drop the ball this time.
Sure. So we're going to kind of skip around on Rob because it just makes more sense to talk about it now. Towards the end of the show, Damian Priest told Drew, along with Judgment Day, that he does not need their help in the match. He wanted to be in the War Games Advantage match. That was his call because he's the leader of it. So we have the match. Damian Priest gets the Damian Priest gets the win over Jey Uso. And then we had Game Wars, as Sean would call it, at the end of the show. And that's when Cody Rhodes announced that Randall Keith Orton would be making his return to the
He left the audience. He didn't say Randy Orton, not even once. Yeah, he said Viper. He said
that's the thing. That's who he was.
Absolutely. No. I'm not saying that he didn't mean Randy Orton.
Yeah.
He said everything aside from Randy Orton.
Yeah.
He said everything about that.
Yeah, that leads to a super chat from our good friend D'Lo Diggs. Hello, sir. He says, I am ready for Randall to RKO people's face off. People's faces off. There we go.
Yeah, a lot of people, the entire internet wants Randy Orton to RKO Rhea Ripley. And I, like, what is wrong with people?
I think.
But, like, I kind of get it because I'm actually the weird one on Twitter today. So, like, it's not, I'm not gonna, you know, judge people for, you know, stuff that they say. So, yeah.
And then next on Raw, we had Nia Jax over Raquel Rodriguez. Didn't really care for that, but that's because I'm a Raquel Rodriguez guy. I'm a big fan of hers. I don't like her losing to Nia. But
I just don't buy Nia Jax. I just don't like.
Yep. So Johnny Gargano over Ludwig Kaiser. I'm glad Johnny got the win. Then we had
But now Johnny Gargano gets to, you know, compete in a weird match on NXT.
Yeah.
That was absolutely out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was weird. And then we had the women's tag team championship contenders match with Tegan Nox and Natalya over Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell against Caden Carter, Katana Chance, and Maxine Dupree and Ivy Nile. I think the right team won there. I mean, I would have been fine with Tegan Nox and Natalya, I would have been fine with Candice, and I would have been okay with pretty much any team winning this. I really would have been. So it went the way I thought it would, though. Tegan Nox is kind of getting that little push here. Not a big push, obviously, but she's getting somewhat of a semi-push, wouldn't you say?
Hopefully. I don't think that they have any idea what they're doing with the tag team division right now, but I see that they're trying to do the work and they're trying to put, you know, teams on television and women on television as a whole. So I will never say no to that.
Yeah. So we had this promo with Gunther backstage where he tells Giovanni Vinci that he's proud of the initiative, which I love this whole thing because Kaiser always has the best reactions when he looks at Giovanni. I just absolutely love it. So I thought this was actually pretty good. And he put him in charge. That was actually kind of surprising. But as he goes out, he goes and talks to The Miz, and they cut a promo. Man, he was saying Miz didn't get bullied enough, and that was pretty, like, interesting TV for a few minutes. But I was really surprised with the I shouldn't say I was really surprised. I really liked the reaction that Miz was starting to get, even though we know he's not. I mean, we'll get to the predictions here, but I mean, there's no way he's going to win, in my opinion. He's not going to be Gunther.
People are cheering the Miz, and that's weird.
Yeah.
Because why are they cheering for the Miz?
Well,
why?
I do tell you this, though. The one thing I cannot stand, and don't get me wrong, I love my country, I don't like the USA chants whenever there's somebody.
I hate them. Like, yeah. Like, the USA chants are probably one of my all-time worst chants in wrestling crowds, because 80% of the time when the audience is chanting USA, they're chanting at just someone who, like a wrestler who's not from the States, and not because the storyline is him hating on people from the United States just because he's not from there. I'm not saying that I'm okay with, you know, with the USA chants when that is the storyline, but I'm, you know, I'm not. That's not for me. And of course I'm biased because I'm not American. I have nothing against Americans, by the way, just so we're clear. But it's when the storyline isn't about an angry, you know, European or an angry Asian or whatever guy who hates the States and hates the American style of wrestling and hates this and that. You can say that this is more justified, right? But like, that's not, like, when you're chanting USA, you know, for something that has nothing to do with the storyline whatsoever, it's like, no.
Yeah. Nope, I understand. So going from there, we had the number one contender tag team turmoil match for the men's getting a title shot on SmackDown. You had the New Day, or no, not a match. I'm sorry. It was a promo, basically to set up a number one contender match for next week's Raw. So basically, the New Day, Indu Shear, the Creed Brothers, DIY, Alpha Academy will all be involved in this match. So we'll see how that goes next week. Any comment on that or no? Okay. After that, we had. Well, I don't know. Like.
No, I just read the chat.
Oh. Okay, so Shinsuke over Chad Gable. Good match for what it was.
I just don't understand. I hope that everything makes sense in the end, you know, with everything that Nakamura is doing. Yeah. You know, like, who's he channeling?
You know, the thing I read today, I don't know where the rumor started, and I asked somebody in our Fightful employee chat, the news chat team, like, where did this rumor start today? With people are saying that some people think it's AJ Styles, which I'm perfectly fine with, but it doesn't make sense for Shinsuke to challenge him, like, out of the just blue, in my opinion, like that. Just like,
I wouldn't mind it.
I just don't, understand it.
Oh, it'll make no sense like whatsoever. But like, if they do decide to do it, like, probably, hopefully, it'll be a better match than they had in WWE, because those did not live up to the hype.
No, like, no. That's one thing. I will say this: if Triple H says, "Okay, we're gonna give you this guys, we're gonna give you guys a feud again, and you guys are gonna just." We're going to let you kill it out there, you know? We're going to let you have...
Yeah, probably. Yeah, because, like, back then it had sort of a buildup. You know, it had. And probably now that it, like, it when it doesn't have, you know, a proper buildup, it can be a really awesome match. So, I don't know. Why not?
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I hope. I'd be fine with it. I just don't know where, like, it came from. So that was my thing.
I'm sure that AJ Styles will have nothing else to do, right?
Yeah. So, I was just gonna look up something on AJ to see.
What?
we both miss him, but I was looking to see. Yeah, I was trying to remember what Wrestle Kingdom that was. It was Wrestle Kingdom number 10 the last time those two, like, had their. Like, in my opinion, a really big match that a lot of us were. I mean, anytime you're telling me that, what's up?
Mouthwatering.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wasn't going that route, but anyways. So you had, basically Wrestle Kingdom 10 at Tokyo Dome. That was a solid one. But I would like to see them have a WWE match where they can go longer than 10 to 15 minutes. I'd love to see them get 18 to 25, you know, somewhere like that. Do I see it happening? I don't know. It's WWE. I never get my hopes up too much. Anyways, I mean, that was pretty much it for Raw. I mean, we covered everything, so let's just go ahead and go into our predictions.
Sure.
So, let's see here. We will start off with The Miz taking on Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Maggie, I think this one's easy for both of us. Gunther will get the victory. What do you think?
This match, I'm looking forward to this match because I want to see what this match does to The Miz. Because Gunther has been putting on bangers after bangers and so on and so forth. Every time that he's defending that championship, you know? I feel like this is a way for people to understand that The Miz is an incredibly hard worker outside the ring and inside the ring also. I really like The Miz. Like, it's not... I like the fact that he's been elevating talent for years now. Mm-hmm. People keep on hating on The Miz. And I understand why they do. Believe me,
He's that good at his job.
He's incredibly good at his job. And he's incredibly good in the ring. Remember, like, the last match that he had with Seth Rollins? That was such an awesome match. Mm-hmm. And people were like, oh, Miz is a really good wrestler. And I'm like, no shit. Like, he's been around for 5,000 years. Like, well, of course.
I've told this story, like, before. Like, when AJ Styles just got in WWE, he was asked in an interview probably about a year afterwards, they asked him, who was somebody that you worked with that like really surprised you? He goes, The Miz. He goes, me and The Miz, we had some really good matches, fun matches. And I was not really going into it. I don't know, but he was pleasantly surprised. And he says, The Miz is going to be one of his favorite opponents that he's had. And I've heard that a lot from other people. They enjoy working with The Miz because he doesn't hurt other people, like in matches. I don't know if you ever paid attention to that stuff. I always kind of...
He's an incredibly safe worker.
Yeah. That's something like I learned from... I started paying attention to it after I read Bret Hart's autobiography because he talked about how he never injured a wrestler. I'm not saying if you injure a wrestler, you're bad. I just always kind of like to just see how it goes for some of these guys. So,
yeah, you have The Miz, you have Baron Corbin, who are widely known as incredibly safe workers. Yeah. So I hope that this match gets to surprise a lot of people. And, you know, for all the naysayers, I'm looking forward to this match, not only because it's Gunther and I... spoilers, Gunther is my wrestler of the year for WWE. Like, he's done a lot this year and I adore the guy. So if you would like to go into the second match while I go actually get water, because I was stupid enough not to get water, thank you.
Okay, so coming up next, we have Rhea Ripley defending her WWE Women's Championship against Mrs. Zoe Stark. Zoe Stark was on with Jeremy Lambert for an exclusive interview this week, so you should check that out if you get the opportunity. Really good interview. And Jeremy asked different questions. They talked about different restaurants and stuff like that. It was actually a really good interview. I enjoyed it, so check that out. Jeremy's great with his interviews. So, but in this match, again, I don't see a title changing hands. Rhea Ripley's going to get this victory. I think it's going to be a good match, but I want to see what you guys think. Do you guys see a possibility in hell Rhea Ripley losing this? Because I sure don't. But I want to hear what you guys say. Maggie, who do you got? So, I don't think she's right yet. So,
yeah.
Who do you got in this matchup? Rhea Ripley or Zoe Stark? I think this is another one that's pretty easy, but
Yeah, this is the other incredibly easy one. Rhea Ripley isn't losing this match. Rhea Ripley is getting ready for Becky Lynch at WrestleMania 40. Next year, I actually have Becky winning the Rumble. But like that's a sorry for, you know, different prediction show. Rhea Ripley, I feel like I'm gonna say this a lot for this show, but I feel like this entire premium live event is a hidden slapper. Because all the matches sound incredibly good on paper. Like whether they're gonna be or not, it's a totally different question. We've seen a lot from Zoe Stark ever since she got on the main roster. She was paired with Trish Stratus for a huge chunk of that time. But now that she's been released into the wild, we've begun to, you know, to see a little bit more of her. I know all the wrestling journalists that have spoken with her praise her for being incredibly sweet and charming and helpful and everything, like an incredible human being, which is a really nice thing to hear because in the ring, she's incredibly good.
Yeah.
I remember when she debuted on NXT. It was during the Wednesday Night Wars, and I just finished watching Dynamite Live, and then I rewind NXT and I was like, I'm just gonna put the show while I fall asleep. And then I couldn't because Zoe Stark was debuting on NXT, and I'm like, ooh, like this girl is something that like she has it. It is what you've got. What you've got is it.
Well, let's go on to some
go ahead. So Rhea Ripley, obviously.
Well, let's go to somebody else who's got it, and that is none other than Santos Escobar taking on Carlito.
Yeah, so Santos Escobar, right? Like, he on SmackDown, because, like, we rarely get to talk about SmackDown if it's not, you know, if it doesn't have anything to do with the bloodline or anything. So Santos turned his back on Rey, and that was the moment Carlito got involved. Up until this that point, everything was fine. And then Carlito came out and he was like, no, dude. Like, he left the brass knuckles, you know, on the apron. Yeah. Just so, you know, Logan Paul can get it and everything. And Santos was like, I ain't taking that shit from you. Mm-hmm. And then he left.
I'm going to have to cut that part. That's going to be evergreen content right there.
You guys, I'm going home. And then he went home. But then he didn't. So that was a really weird heel turn. Because like then he came back and he beat, you know, Rey Mysterio. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of Legado, which includes Zelina Vega, all of them like tried, you know, beating some sense into Santos. But I know it's really weird, but I think Santos is right too. I mean, he had to have the United States Championship opportunity in the first place. But like, because he got injured, Rey Mysterio put his way in there and like took his spot. And Santos Escobar, like, was like, what the fuck, bro, and everything. This was way overdue in my eyes. Santos is amazing. I love the guy. I hope that this heel turn and his future match with, his inevitable future match with Rey Mysterio is actually a stepping stone for all the amazing stuff that the guy can do. I so hope so, because I miss him in NXT. On the main roster, he's been pretty good. But I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
It's like Andrade in AEW. Like, give me more of these people who can do, who can go in the ring.
So it sounds like we both are going to have Carlito winning this. The thing that I wanted to say is
What, Carlito? No, I have Santos.
No, sorry. That's what I meant. We both have Santos. Sorry, I misspoke. I think, and somebody just put, Sean just put in chat what I was going to say. I think basically Zelina's going to come out again and get in Santos's face or something like that, and Electra Lopez is going to debut. That's what I'm really hoping. Because I would like her to manage Santos like she did in NXT. I would absolutely love that.
Will she still be on NXT with Lola?
I could see it. I would like to see her with Santos. I mean, it doesn't need to necessarily be this week, but I would like to see it happen again. Because I thought they were pretty good.
Okay. They were.
So we both have Santos Escobar winning this one. We move on to the whoops-a-daisy. Let's go here to the Women's Survivor Series War Games match presented by Ruffles. I can't believe I did you vote on that, by the way? Did you go and vote?
For what?
Like you can go and vote and see who has the advantage for the match. You can choose between or the team that Becky's on or Damage Control. Like it lets
you. You're not having an advantage match?
Well, they're not having an advantage match. You get to pick which team gets the advantage. Which, this is the thing. WWE says they don't do it, but they can change these results any way they want them to. So, and I already know that.
I don't think it matters. Like, yeah. In my eyes, they already know who's going to do that.
Yeah.
Usually, it's really weird when the face team gets the advantage because, like,
yeah,
the whole thing behind the, you know, the War Games gimmick,
yeah,
is the fact that you need to be the underdog.
Correct.
You either win being the underdog or lose because you're the underdog. Yeah. So the faces having, you know, the advantage, it really doesn't work for me. I don't know if I remember correctly, but if my memory isn't lying to me, which I'm not surprised if it is, I feel like the first ever women's War Games match on NXT, the face team got the advantage of that. I feel like Mia Yim won a ladder match. It was a ladder match, yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember who she was facing. I do not remember that far back, and I hate myself, but I feel like the face team got the advantage.
Okay.
Yeah, but then they lost because Dakota Kai turned heel on Candice LeRae.
Yeah. Yep.
I feel like that was it. Was that it?
Yeah, that was that pay-per-view.
I mean, Soupy's in the chat. Soupy's the one who corrects us all the time. So. Yeah. So if I'm not right, that's fine. So this match is really interesting to me because you're gonna have Becky Lynch and Charlotte in the same team. That's mm-hmm. So the whole thing was that Adam Pearce was like, I need to have an answer until the rest of the night. Like, who's you know, the first person?
Yeah.
So Charlotte said that she needs to call a friend. So apparently she called Becky. And that's weird. And I just, if at any time in the match we have Rob, I'm gonna do it a bit. Can they coexist?
Yeah.
Can Becky and Charlotte coexist?
Yep. Hell of a show right here.
Yeah, it needed to happen at some point. So, if at any time in this match, I don't care if it's in the beginning or at the end, like I don't, I do not care. But if Charlotte and Becky hug each other, I'm gonna cry forever. So yeah, like Becky's probably my forever ever favorite women's wrestler, because we're the same person. And Charlotte is probably in ring one of, you know, the best wrestlers, period, yeah, in the ring. So I hate it when my parents fight. So like that's I don't want this to keep happening. I understand those are two incredibly like those are big characters. And, you know, butting heads, like, you're going to have that always when you have egos like that. And that's part of life. So when it comes to cohesiveness, I don't know if Damage Control have the upper ground here, because I kind of feel like the rest of Damage Control are phasing out Bayley.
Yeah. And yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yes, and we have to talk about the cryptic, you know, Instagram story that Bayley had today.
Yeah,
she is such a troll, and I love her so much for that, because she knows how to get, you know, attention on this match, because everyone's talking about Punk, everyone's talking about Randy Orton, and no one's talking about anything whatsoever about the women's War Games match. I hate this, by the way, just FYI. So she's going to work for herself, So I adore Bayley. Pamela, do you hear me? I really adore you. Yes. So, yeah, she posted an Instagram story Sasha Banks in it, also known as Mercedes Moné. But in WWE, she's Sasha Banks. She said that she always has a plan B or whatever. Like, I don't remember what the...
What she said.
Yeah, okay.
Or I have a back... Yeah, something like that. I have a backup plan.
Yeah, so, like... I see what you're doing, sweetie. You're so great. I was always gonna be excited for this match. I don't need, you know, the trollism in order to get myself hyped for this. I'm already looking forward to this match. Because it's the in-ring return of Kairi Sane in WWE. I'm always going to be looking forward to that. She has the most awesomest of elbow drops in the world. I don't care who you are. That is the most badass elbow drop ever. I love her. You have... Asuka on the same team with Io Sky and Kairi Sane. I'm always going to be looking forward to that. And then you have Bayley. Like, what else? How do they turn on her? Is Dakota Kai in it or not? Because I actually feel like Dakota Kai has been doing a lot of the talking for the Joshi wrestlers here. And it's kind of exciting. And the face team, you have a lot of characters that aren't used to getting along with other people. That's the thing. Almost all the time when it comes to the women's Survivor Series / War Games match, you have a lot of women that have difficulty coexisting with each other.
You did it again.
Yeah, I did it. Give me money.
Yeah.
Guys, send a super chat and humper chat, please, because I'm really good today. So it's I suppose it's the new office. I don't know. It's the office aura. Yeah. So that's kind of an awful thing, by the way, because you're making it out as if women don't get along with each other if they're good, if they're baby faces. So that's like, you know, a weird thing. I'm looking forward to this match because I want to see the dynamic inside both teams. I'm looking forward to that. Do you think, okay, so do you think we see Sasha Banks? Of course we don't, because she, like, there's no way. Yeah. Yes, thank you. I've always got a plan. Yeah, so Sasha Banks, like, she's, first of all, injured, and second of all, she does have a contract, right? Like, she signed to, like, we don't know. Okay,
we don't know. We don't really know, like, what her, well, I know she probably has an agreement with New Japan, but I don't know what's in that agreement, obviously. I don't think anybody really knows. And a lot of people think she's going to be working with AEW soon. So, but you never know if she didn't sign that contract. Let's say hypothetically, WWE just kind of swung in and said, hey, they
we're here.
Yeah, they grabbed Will Ospreay, so we're gonna try to bring Sasha back, something like that. I could see that. I'm not saying that's gonna happen, but I could definitely see it. But
Do you see Sasha Banks returning? No. And do you see, of course, okay, neither do I. So do you see Damage Control turning on Bayley?
Yes, but I think it'll be after the match. I think Damage Control wins, and I still think they turn on Bayley. And I think this is what I said last night. I think it was, if I got the person wrong, I'm sorry, but I think it was Stephanie Hypes that said something about, could you kind of see like Charlotte and Becky helping Bayley up afterwards, and they do the four, you know? So I think somebody said that. Oh my God, I'd freak out if that happened, you know?
Yeah, so be patient with me here. Hear me out. Ever since Damage Control became a thing, what's the main thing that they've been doing? Losing a lot. Mm-hmm. They have been losing a lot. And Bayley was always the one in charge, right?
Yeah.
So if they actually lose this match, this will be the catalyst for the entirety of Damage Control to turn on Bayley once and for all.
Yeah.
So because you may say that up until now, like, because why turn on Bayley? Because like they've been losing with her in control of Damage Control, but if they win here, they win. Like, why would they turn on Bayley if they win here?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't make much sense, but I just have a feeling like it's going to happen one way or another. I just do. Like,
okay, so up until now, I thought the Damage Control was no, they got to win. It's Kairi Sane's in-ring debut.
Well, I mean,
they will not make Kairi Sane lose her.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because they're getting like a push. I think you have to let them win. You know, they've been pushing them on SmackDown like pretty big.
That's fine, but like if they lose here, that's the reason for them to turn on Bayley.
Yeah. No, that's true too. I just don't see them.
Oh my God, this is so hard.
Yeah.
That's okay. What she said.
Sorry, you walked right into that one.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to bet. Okay, final answer. Damage Control lose. That's a weird one. Damage Control lose, and then they turn on Bayley. And then Becky and Charlotte help her out and do the fourth thing. I'm going to mark out if that ever happens. Bayley doesn't need to return to the hugger gimmick, by the way. She doesn't need, like, she can turn face without, you know, having the Bayley buddies or whatever. But I know it's probably not going to happen. Like, everyone, thanks to Supi, everyone knows that we suck at, you know, predictions.
Yeah.
Thank you, sweetie. We love you so much. But like, I know I suck, and this is why.
I get it. Like, I mean, we both know I suck at it, so at predictions, so it is what it is. But I have Damage Control winning myself, and I think they turn on Bayley at the show. So now we go to the main event. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and a returning Kevin Owens, a returning Randy Orton is what I meant to say, taking on Judgment Day and Drew McIntyre. Maggie, I have Team Cody winning this match. I want to hear what you got.
I feel like this is the easiest match on the card. So first of all, you have a returning Randy Orton. And then you have Cody Rhodes' first ever War Games match. He's not losing this. No, that's his father's match. He thought of it. There is no way Cody's losing here. But I do remember saying there's no way Cody Rhodes loses at WrestleMania 39. So, of course, I might end up eating those words. But the thing is, I feel like I'm more sure for this match than I am for WrestleMania. The question is, do you think that Randy Orton, because the thing that they made sure that everyone noticed at the end of Raw was the fact that Jey Uso was not happy about Randy Orton being on the team, even if Cody Rhodes did not say out loud the name, you know, that was the final member of the team. Everyone knew what who that person was, but it was really subtle, and I love that, because this, if Vince was still in charge, this would have been shoved into our faces so much.
So
it was incredibly subtle, and I love that. Like, it's been, WWE as a whole has been incredibly entertaining lately, and knock on wood, like, it's been pretty good. At little sudden subtle hints like that, because what was the last thing that we ever saw from Randy Orton? He was beaten up by the Usos. In kayfabe, the Usos were the reason Randy Orton was out of action for how long?
Oh man, a year,
a year and
a half, maybe.
Yeah, probably. So this was, oh my god, a year and a half. So he's teaming with 50% of the reason why he was on the shelf for a year and a half.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting right there. So I do expect that when they win, because I have no doubt, I have zero doubt that they're going to win the match. I'm pretty sure that he's going to RKO Jay's ass, like hardcore RKO the guy. But this, it may not happen because the guy did have back fusion surgery. So landing...
May 20th of 2022 was his last match.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so a year and a half. So executing RKOs may not be in the cards for Randy Orton because of, you know, all the surgeries.
There's going to be an RKO.
Yeah, good. But like... there's not going to be RKO City like it used to, like back then.
You never know. I mean, my thing is if he wasn't 100% to go, I don't think he'd be in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't, like, he's always been kind of a safe worker for him. You know, the thing that,
I know what you're saying.
The thing that Christopher Daniels and Jeff Jarrett always say, I hate that I'm going to make that comparison. Never do something in minute two that you can't do in minute 20, you know? And Randy Orton has been incredibly simple in the ring, but everything he does is absolutely great. And probably the reason why he can still go at the level that he used to go right now, it's because he kept his in-ring style incredibly simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who you got winning?
The face team, Cody Rhodes.
So the only thing we went different on is women's match, I think, right?
Yeah, damage control, losing. Oh. And that's only because I want to explain the turning on Bayley in some point.
All righty. So Cooper effect time. Ready?
Yeah. Guys, today I'm going to tell you all about a teenager from Iowa named Lauren. She did a lot of food drives during COVID. And the thing that she noticed was that, you know, the foods that were included in that food drive, they weren't at all nutrition foods. They were all boxed and canned goods and everything. So what she did was she grew 7,000 pounds of produce with market value around $15,000 and gave it all away for food banks and nonprofits in the Quad Cities area. So she had no, she wasn't into farming, but like she did inherit, you know, acres of land, so she was able to grow vegetables. And like this is an amazing thing to do, like faith in humanity restored. I know that we do Cooper Facts a lot on animals, you and I, because like we adore animals, but yep. Like every now and then we really want to, you know, highlight people. And this is a teenager, mind you. Lauren's a teenager living in Iowa. So you know, what teenagers are doing now and then, you know, not listening to their parents, being on TikTok, doing whatever they want and like not staying in school, like shenanigans. Yeah, like they're being little dickholes all of a sudden, you know, because of hormones or whatever. I was an awful teenager, like awful teenager, but I had my reasons, but what Lauren's doing here is incredibly, incredibly amazing. And I do hope that her parents are proud of her, because as a teenager, I would not have done that. So empathy, 1, psychopath, 0.
There you go.
Yes. Way to go, Lauren. We love you for that, and keep up the good work, because people suck a bit less today.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
All right. Yeah, great story there. I like it. I was not too far from me. Plus, that's where Corey Taylor lives. So we got that going for us. All right. So we move on to the AEW Continental Classic that was announced a while ago, or about 2 weeks ago, right? But now they have our brackets all figured out, who's in what group. So I'm excited for that. Continental Classic just started this past week on Dynamite. Some good matches. So, but first, before I go into that, I found this picture and I just wanted to see your reaction.
Look at the people around the cat. What the fuck is in this?
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, oh, Maggie's gonna laugh, so I gotta save this one. So I was gonna save it for the show, which I did. So I'm just glad.
Okay.
Because you know, it's kind of like our
face.
It's like our ATM cat, you know, the one that's at the bank machine there, the getting cash. You remember that one?
I know.
Got a super chat from Will Chisholm. Thank you, sir, for the generous super chat.
Thank you, Will, sweetie. Thank you.
I'm so excited for the women's War Games match. Even more about the damage control storyline. My 4-year-old daughter, who doesn't like Bayley, started feeling bad for her, saying they are going to jump you out. See, it's going to happen, Maggie. Thank you, Scott.
Okay, Will,
sorry, I was looking at Scott's name.
Has your 4-year-old daughter watched wrestling when she had the hugger gimmick? That's you don't need to send a super chat to answer the question. Like, because 4-year-olds adored Bayley when she was in the hugger gimmick, but like it's been a while since she turned heel. So I don't know if she's seen old stuff with Bayley as a face, but like I suppose that it's gonna be a little hard to explain to a 4-year-old, you know, that she used to be a good person. Like when a 4-year-old kid has seen the dick that Bayley has been, and all of a sudden you need to show like that lovable person that she used to be, she's not gonna buy that. That's actually my question. Like, what has she seen Hugger Bayley? Because I don't know, I feel like she would have fallen in love with her, because all little girls adore Hugger Bayley.
Yeah. So you know something that I was gonna say is, what I would like to see like happen is, like, in going back to this Bayley, I like, if she goes back to being a face, that's perfectly fine. But what I want to happen more than anything is I still want her and Michael Cole to have like a, like, face, and like, no matter what, they still don't like each other. Like, you know,
that, yeah, like, I have no idea how would I go. Like, everything with Michael Cole, I've been loving every single step of that. Like, she his name into her hair.
Yeah.
Like, back in the day. I love that. Like, I don't want this to end. Like, ever.
That's the thing. Like, that's why, like, even if she's a face, I would still love it if they did, like, that's when she's a tweener. Yeah. You know, like, that way she still, like, treats him like crap. I would absolutely love that so much, because that was part of the best thing about the Thunderdome era. You know, that was one of the best things about it, was her and Michael Cole.
Bayley, Michael Cole. I remember
Big the E throwing New Day.
They're throwing their gear at Corey Graves. I love that.
Yeah,
that was so great. Samoa Joe being on commentary also, I love that. I miss that so much.
If we ever do get Big E back, which I hope we do, I just, for my sake, I would love for him to just do that, like, just like in his return match, I would love for him to just do that, like throw it at Corey Graves.
Corey Graves needs to be back on commentary for that, but like
why I'm hoping it happens like at a PLE. Maybe by no means do I have no idea where he's at, like, physically. He says he's feeling good, but I don't know what that entails. Like,
yeah, we're not doctors. Like, only doctors in Big E himself. Yeah.
I'm only a doctor on Pornhub, so, you know, that's what I tell people. But anyways,
did not take too long.
No, yeah. No, it did not. Short video. Yes. Anyways, let's get back to Collision or Continental Classic. In the Gold Group, John Moxley, Swerve Strickland, Roosh, Mark Briscoe, Jay Lethal, and Switchblade. Whew. Hell of a group, bro. So all three of those matches took place. Group Gold, or the Gold Group, had their matches on Dynamite this past week. Moxley taking on Mark Briscoe, Swerve, Jay Lethal, and then Switchblade and Roosh. Maggie, before we get started, who do you see in the Gold Group heading to the finals? Without going Swerve. Into the Blue Group. Okay, that's who I have as well. I have Swerve.
I think he wins the whole thing.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I have Swerve winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
I
mean, I had my doubts before Full Gear, and after Full Gear, give the guy everything.
Yeah. So anyways, we had Moxley versus Mark Briscoe. I'm kind of going out of order here, but what'd you think of that match? I liked how the ending went, and I liked how...
I loved the way they showed respect toward each other.
Yeah.
I love that. it was weird because both Jay White and Moxley lost at Full Gear, and now they won here. Mm-hmm. We did say last week on our show that both of us will be shocked if Orange Cassidy beat Moxley for the championship. Thank you, Soupy. Once again, shout out to our friend Soupy. He's doing amazing work with PR for our show, but like he keeps on reminding us how crappy we are at this. Keeps us in check.
Yeah, don't put money on like what we predict. Don't say it.
Well, like never. Like listen to smart people. Listen to Jeremy. Listen to Steven. Listen to SP3. He sure knows what he's talking about. Also, listen to Kate, because you need to listen to women, not me. Other women. It was a weird Dynamite for me. Like, wrestling has been a bit weird ever since Full Gear ended, and we're gonna talk about this in a few minutes. But something snapped in my head after watching Full Gear. Somehow, Full Gear always leaves. You know, Full Gear kind of makes me reevaluate my love for wrestling in a good way, like not in a bad way, in a good way. And we will talk about this later. But I hope that time passes, because this cannot be the thing that's in my head all the time. Of course, I'm talking about the Texas Deathmatch. But this is actually the reason why I have Swerve winning. You cannot have this type of performance and not piggyback off of that. Yeah. This should be punishable by death.
Yeah.
No, if they don't capitalize on that.
Exactly. I don't disagree with you there at all. I enjoyed the Moxley match. Like how you said, they showed respect to each other. I enjoyed that. Good match. I figured Moxley. I think it's going to end up being Swerve versus Moxley. To find out who goes to the next round. So might as well talk about Swerve versus Jay Lethal. Obviously, we both like who won that match. Good match, too. It was good. They were going back and forth. Good.
It was a good match, but the thing is that everyone knew the Swerve was winning. Like, zero question about it. But I saw that a lot of people were pissed off that Jay Lethal was angry at the fact that Jay Lethal was a part of, you know, the show. They were like, well, why isn't Miro part of the tournament? Listen, I don't want Miro being a part of this tournament if he's not winning. If Miro is a part of any tournament, I want Miro to win. And I don't think that they're going to make Miro win. And I do not want him to be a part of this tournament if he's not winning. He can be a part of something else. He's in the middle of another feud. The thing is, The weird thing is that Daniel Garcia lost him, you know, a Collision, right? Uh-huh. It was a hell of a match. But in kayfabe, why is Garcia in this match and not Miro? In kayfabe, it has no... Like, because Garcia lost to MJF as well. Like, he's been losing. Like, why is he in this match? Like, why is he in the poor
in
man's...
these matches? One? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why.
I understand people's frustration. That's what I'm trying to say. But I'm absolutely sure that this is going to be a slapper. I'm excited to see what Americans, if Americans can get invested in that type of tournament, because like you guys are way more used to like direct eliminations and everything, but like that's not the rest of the world's way. Like that's not how you do it. Like it's a different kind of tournament. You know, it's basically a football tournament. Like right now, it's a group thing, and like every team has to play with the other and anything. It's not direct eliminations.
Yeah.
So I love that, and that's pretty good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. There's one thing that's bugging me a lot, and I mean a lot, because no one's allowed to be outside of, you know, the ring while people are, you know, there's no, you know, rules need to be, you know, sacred and everything. And like, you shouldn't cheat. And I'm like, so what we're doing right now is directly acknowledging the fact that everyone's cheating all the time. That, like, that's basically what they're saying. And I'm like, well, why not? Sean said it himself, like, why not ban people in ring as a whole? I'm not saying ban people as a whole, you know, when they're outside, you know, cheering their friends or teammates or whatever. My problem here is that they're directly saying to your face, guys, hi, we know that everyone's cheating all the time, and we're not going to let this happen here.
Yeah,
that's absolutely what they're saying.
No, I agree with you. So we got another super chat. From this one is from our good friend Eric Freeds. He says, hey everybody, just curious what equipment you use and or for podcasting. Also, what were your men's and women's and tag team matches of the year? So I use a cheap blue microphone. Blue is what the name of the company is. It works for me, but I do want to get a different one. And as far as like camera, I just use the laptop camera on my MacBook.
Yeah, I use a pretty good webcam and a Blue Yeti. That's it's the same brand as Rob's microphone, but a Blue Yeti, because like it's the mother of all podcasting microphones, and I love it. It was a present from a friend of mine. Alex, hi. Yeah, that's about it. Like that's like if you're talking about, you know, a hardcore podcasting equipment, you should ask Alexis Cardoza. He's doing the post SmackDown shows with Kate on the main Fightful channel. He's like, that's basically what he does. Like equipment and lighting and everything. Like that's his jam. You should ask that. As opposed to men's and women's tag matches of the year, well, men's tag match of the year.
Mine goes back to what show? AW. It was a collision with Dax and Cash versus
Bullet Club. Oh my god, that was such a great match.
Jay White and Juice Robinson.
Yeah.
Those were great. So, you know, I also enjoyed Double or Nothing with the Bullet Club, or not Bullet Club, with Blackpool Combat Club against Brian Danielson?
Eric, sweetie, now that you're putting this into our heads, like at the end of the year, which isn't that far, by the way, and that's really scary, we will have matches of the years. We will talk about that, so you will be able to catch our answer there. Tag team matches of the year, wrestlers of the year, and everything, feuds of the year. Yeah,
there's so many, like in. Who knows? We still got it. Who knows what the hell is going to happen at?
Yeah, exactly. Who knows what's going to happen at Full Gear, at World's End, or whatever? Yeah. Like
Survivor Series, I think you meant, instead of Full Gear. But yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, War Games. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there's still matches that are coming up. So
yeah, there's still a lot.
I know.
Thank you, Eric, by the way, for the super chat.
Yeah, there's so many matches that I'm excited for.
Yes,
so.
Yes, absolutely.
So moving on to the blue group, which none of these matches have taken place yet. I assume they're going to take place on Collision. You have Bryan Danielson, Andrade, Brody King, Claudio, Daniel Garcia, and Eddie Kingston. I have Bryan Danielson going to the finals against Swerve.
Yeah, it's going to be so good.
So who do you think Danielson beats to get to Swerve?
Kingston.
You think so? Okay. That's
Yeah.
Yeah, I was either thinking like... it was I was thinking it was either going to be him or Claudio.
Claudio can be before that, but the whole thing is that Eddie Kingston is putting his two championships on the line here.
Yeah.
His Ring of Honor championship and his open weight.
Yep.
Open Stop weight. Me if I'm wrong.
You know, no, you're right. And Tony said something about like the titles, like at the on the special they did on Thursday or Wednesday rather.
That the winner of Eddie Kingston isn't defending his championships in every match. No, this tournament is for these championships.
Yeah.
And then at the end, the winner is going to get, a trophy, a belt trophy, for winning that. And basically, they're going to defend it at every year when they have this tournament.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. So,
but yeah, other than that, I mean, Dynamite, we had a couple other things. You had the MJF and Adam Cole promo, which was pretty good. I thought that was okay. You had Samoa Joe come out. And
what did you think of Full Gear's main event? Because I'm going to save the death match for the last thing that we talk about on our show. Correct? Like, are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, okay.
So Full Gear main event. Like, tell me what's your thoughts? Can you remove Eric's chat?
Yeah. Yep. 1 second.
Because Adam Cole came out at Full Gear.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that MJF was hurt on the pre-show. In kayfabe, and then it turns out that he was legit hurt. Okay, so on the pre-show, they made sure that MJF has a bum leg, and he couldn't be at 100% at the main event when he's fighting Jay White. So you have MJF with one leg against Jay White, who is 100% and did not have a match 3 hours earlier, as boys outside the ring, and then another wrestler in the face of Adam Cole, who also has one leg. And all the overbooking in this match led to Jay White. What?
No, just you said over.
Yeah, just pun intended. Ignore me.
It's my first day.
You're excited. That's fine. So Jay White lost. Why? Like, I'm not saying that he should have won. I'm not saying that. But like, it was so incredibly overbooked that tell me how Jay White looks good. Like, everything that they did on Dynamite was trying to right the wrongs that they did on that main event. Like, I saw a lot of people being upset about the main event, and I was like, why are people upset? Because the devil didn't appear? And then I figure out why they were upset, because of everything that happened with Jay White. And how can you possibly think of Jay White as a threat, as a top guy in the company, when he and his 100% two goons could not defeat one leg? Like, that's, at the end of the day, that's absolutely what happened. On Dynamite, we did get a glimpse of the devil as Adam Cole was in the ring. So the thing that I saw on internet, and I'm not even kidding, Rob. And this made me laugh a bit. People legitimately said, I am worried that Jack Perry is the devil. Please don't let Jack Perry be the devil. And I'm like, guys, it's wrestling. What are you doing? It's wrestling. It's not a big deal. Everything, just go. It'll make sense. Come on. Like, they were legitimately worried and they couldn't sleep because they thought that the devil was Jack Perry.
Well,
wrestling, it's not that serious, guys. Please. And then yeah. I think that people were so pissed off at the Avengers and then Iron Man 2 and whatever. And Iron Man 2 sucked. I should get my money back. I should get Endgame for free because I sat through Iron Man 2 and everything. I'm not saying that this was me.
No, I'm just, kind of wasn't. I just like your examples because it was just like.
Yeah, but I'm right. Okay. But like it's wrestling. It's not serious. It's supposed to be fun. And please don't get your pennies in a bunch. So it's not like your life depends on it. I'm sure that if it turns out to be Jack Perry, it will make sense if you let it make sense. Okay. If you let them in, pardon the expression, if you let them in, and give them time, I'm sure that everything will be fine, okay? So, like don't calm your tits, okay?
Yeah. We got it. Before we move on, we got a generous super chat from our good friend Throwback. Thank you, Throwback. So this is like an RKO out of nowhere. Hope y'all had a good turkey day. I did have a good one. Do you see?
I've never had turkey in my life.
Gobble, gobble. Anyways. Do you see the overall war games this year be better than last year's? I was there in the crowd and it felt like a thud. Do you see any NXT talent showing up at war games? Love you guys. Love you too, buddy.
Love you too, sweetie. I actually do not see any people from NXT showing up at war games whatsoever. NXT call-ups will see NXT call-ups at the Rumble. I am absolutely sure about that. Everything that they've been doing with NXT has been working in my eyes. So they need to do their own thing at NXT, close down the year at deadline. And then if they're going to debut, they're going to debut at the Rumble.
Yeah.
Do whatever you can. Give them the flowers at NXT. Have the NXT crowd adore them and give them, you know, the standing ovation. Then debut them at the Rumble. As of the War Games as an experience of the match, I'm sure that it's gonna be like everyone knew what was gonna happen at the end of War Games last year. Okay, everyone knew that the Bloodline was winning, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, everyone was kind of hoping that Sami Zayn, you know, didn't
get turned on that sounded weird. Where you didn't get, where they didn't turn on him or.
Yeah, we were hoping for kind of a different thing. But it's gonna be a good match because Cody's there, and I suppose that he's gonna have to honor his dad in a certain way. Yeah. I do believe that it's gonna be a really, really awesome match. Also, please, absolutely, if you don't forget, I know I wouldn't, sweetie. Please tell us how Brody's doing after that.
He just added. Never know, Maggie. Also, Brody is having surgery next year, so pray for him when it's time. So. We definitely will. As far as like me go war games, I love the war games matches. I just really enjoy them. Last year's was
every time
one.
I hear that siren, it just gives me chills.
I can't wait for this one. I think it's gonna be good. I don't really necessarily compare them, so because I think they're just different stories. Now as far as NXT goes, there's been some rumors, but I don't want to go into that because some people don't want spoilers, but I don't think we'll see anything. That's just
I wouldn't mind it, but like I feel like the time will be at the Rumble. It'll be kind of jumping the shark on, you know, on this.
Well,
so do you have anything to add before we start talking about the Texas Deathmatch?
No, I was just gonna say, overall, Full Gear was a fantastic pay-per-view. I loved it.
It was an awesome pay-per-view. I adore the crap out of it. I understand why people were bummed out after the main event. I totally understand, believe me. Yeah. But
yeah, I was gonna say
one other thing. Yeah.
Will Ospreay signing was good. I really like
Will Ospreay signed. I'm so glad for that. Like, we will see him. When did he say? After March or after Revolution?
He said it'll be like on the... Basically, he's going to be on the road to Revolution.
On the road to Revolution. I'm incredibly happy for that. I marked out so much because we talked on our show. I'm just incredibly selfish, and I just want to see Will Ospreay on my television every week. That's what I want to see. That's it. Like, I know he's an amazing wrestler, and all the matches of the year that I have this year, almost all of them have Will Ospreay on them. You know, a part of that main one that we're going to, you know, talk about right now. Like I said, I know people were kind of bummed out at the end of Full Gear because of the way that it ended, the way that the match played out, whether they wanted to see the devil or not, or the way that Jay White was booked. I get it. I get all of it. But if I have to be perfectly honest here, everything after the Texas Deathmatch for me was kind of a blur.
Well, how about this? How about I talk about the Texas Deathmatch first? That way you can
gather my thoughts. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Thank you.
Crazy match. Absolutely awesome match. I know how some people felt about it. You're not like, those people aren't going to be happy regardless. That's fine. Now, let me rephrase that. There are people that thought it was too much, and I understand that. I shouldn't say I'm used to that. It's just I've watched a lot of that kind of wrestling from back in the late 90s with Abdullah the Butcher, New Jack, the Mass Transit Incident, which I recommend people don't check out if you don't like blood. but this was a callback to me. Like, it was a great match. It's the first Texas death match at Hangman's Lost. Swerve, I already knew, like most of us already knew he was a star, but this just put him on a... This brought him right up, in my opinion. Brought him up to a main event caliber for the non like hardcore fans like us. I think that show did it for him. Just amazing. We got a meme out of it, like with Swerve with the stapler part. But yeah, crazy match, loved it. But I'll let you take over before we wrap up the show.
So. Death matches aren't usually my thing, and before people go into conclusions, it's not because of the blood. Okay, stop saying that women aren't okay with blood. We see way more blood in our lifetime than men do, so shut the fuck up. It's not about the blood. It's not about, you know, the violence and everything. I don't like death matches because usually they don't have that storytelling in the ring in them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But this one did. This one did, and that's why it stood out from all the other deathcore Texas whatever matches that you want to call them. This was so amazingly good from start to finish. And it was incredibly personal. It had drama. It was a Texas deathcore soap opera. Like, that's if not anything, women adore soap operas. So all women should adore this match. So all the, you know, the cinder blocks and, you know, the chains, and then Hangman gets a stapler out, and then he gets one of his kids' drawings that Swerve, you know, didn't like seeing on the fridge when he broke into his house. So Hangman decided to staple that drawing on his cheek. And after the first attempt was unsuccessful, he did it a second time. And the moment we heard the click and you saw, you know, the huge amount of blood on his cheek, then what Hangman did, he tore the drawing, which exposed the wound on Swerve's cheek. So Hangman laid on the ring, precisely under the wound that was bleeding from Strickland's face. Mm-hmm. And then he started, you know, drinking Swerve's blood. So after that, he got out and spat out Swerve's blood into the air as if it was, you know, something that all of us do in our everyday life. So something happened to me in that exact moment. This was so hot. I need help. I need mental help. This should not have turned me on so much. I have no idea what happened. Everything was a blur after that. And I had to go to work after that, Rob. I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying to you, but I had to go through an entire shift thinking of this spot. I cannot bring myself, and I it's almost been a week, Rob, and I have not stopped thinking about this segment all week, and I cannot bring myself to watch this match ever again because my uterus cannot take all the orgasms. like I cannot. It's the end of the show. I can talk whatever I want.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean,
so wow. It's the thing is that, like, that's, and now all of a sudden I'm in love with Hangman. Okay, like that's the last thing I needed. Okay, this is the absolute last thing I needed. Another hot guy for me to be incredibly in love with. Like, see, if I had a dime for all the fictional characters that I was ever helplessly in love with, I would be able to afford the therapy that I obviously need. Okay, so it's just like, you know, I'm like, it's the universe having like a good old laugh with me, like, you know. So probably, like, it would have been nice if you could just bring me an in-real-life hot guy for me to fall in love with, as opposed to, you know, falling for another, like, thing like that. That is the last thing I need, okay? Like, I need mental help. This shouldn't be happening. And now, Hangman not being on television, this is the most logical thing here, because everything that happened, he got choked out. Why the hell did I love this so much, Rob? Please help me.
Like, I can't tell you. I don't know what the hell is wrong with you.
I like, what, this should not have happened. Like, I do not need to be in love with another blonde man, okay? Like, I'm so over, like, Kenny and Will Ospreay's there again and Hangman now. Like, what? Stop it. Like, that's, I did not sign up for this. I've always adored Hangman, but, like, I cannot stop seeing him, like, so hot right now. So, like, that is just because he drank some blood and spit it in the air. Like, why do I find this so... Guys, you can follow me on X, Twitter, or whatever, at Maggie_IK. Please help me. And on Instagram, at Maggie.IK. We are going to have a Survivor Series pre-show tomorrow on Fightful Select at 2 p.m. Eastern, right?
Yep, 2 p.m. Eastern probably, tomorrow on Fightful Select. 2
p.m. Eastern. Well, we're going to have the usual suspect there. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. You're going to have to subscribe to Fightful Select, please. It's the most direct way to support us. Rob, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rob Wilkins, or X, whatever the hell you want to call it. Or on Instagram at Fightful Rob. I'm also on Threads at Fightful Rob. So
thank you.
Yeah, we are good. Did you promote your stuff?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I thought so. I don't know. But guys, I hope you enjoy Survivor Series tomorrow if you choose to watch it. And I think it's going to be a good show. And, you know, it's one of those things where you can go to probably...
Yeah, United David States. Busters, damn it.
You know, being a survivor sometimes takes a...
Sacrifice!
Okay, that was... I'm sorry. I will never do that again.
You're lying.
No, I don't. Have I ever lied to you?
Yes.
Oh, I have. Okay. Guys, we'll talk to you later. Thank you. Hope you have a great weekend. Want to say thank you again for tuning in, and we will see you next week. It was fun. Peace out, my homies.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.